the last penny as usual. Mrs. St. Vincent sighed. I wish, she began, and then stopped. I must find something to do, said Barbara, in hard tones, and find it quickly. After all, I've taken that shorthand and typing course. So have about 1 million other girls, from all I can see. What experience? Well, none, but, oh, thank you, good morning, we'll let you know. But they never do. I must find some other kind of job. Any job? Not yet, dear, pleaded her mother. Wait a little longer. Barbara went to the window and stood looking out with unseeing eyes that took no note of the dingy line of houses opposite. Sometimes, she said slowly, I'm sorry Cousin Amy took me with her to Egypt last winter. Oh, I know I had fun. About the only fun I've ever had, or am likely to have in my life. I did enjoy myself. Enjoyed myself thoroughly. But it was very unsettling. I mean, coming back to this. She swept a hand round the room. Mrs. St. Vincent followed it with her eyes and winced. The room was typical of cheap furnished lodgings. A dusty aspidistra, showily ornamental furniture, a gaudy wallpaper faded in patches. There were signs that the personality of the tenants had struggled with that of the landlady. One or two pieces of good china, much cracked and mended, so that their saleable value was nil. A piece of embroidery thrown over the back of the sofa, a watercolour sketch of a young girl in the fashion of 20 years ago, near enough still to Mrs. St. Vincent, not to be mistaken. It wouldn't matter, continued Barbara, if we'd never known anything else. But to think of Anstey's... She broke off, not trusting herself to speak of that dearly loved home which had belonged to the St. Vincent family for centuries, and which was now in the hands of strangers. If only Father hadn't speculated and borrowed. My dear, said Mrs. St. Vincent, your father was never, in any sense of the word, a businessman. She said it with a kind of graceful finality, and Barbara came over and gave her an aimless sort of kiss as she murmured, Poor old mums, I won't say anything. Mrs. St. Vincent took up her pen again and bent over her desk. Barbara went back to the window. Presently the girl said, Mother, I heard from Jim Masterton this morning. He wants to come over and see me. Mrs. St. Vincent laid down her pen and looked up sharply. Here? She exclaimed. Well, we can't ask him to dinner at the Ritz very well, sneered Barbara. Her mother looked unhappy. Again she looked round the room with innate distaste. You're right, said Barbara. It's a disgusting place. Genteel poverty. Sounds all right. A whitewashed cottage in the country. Shabby chintzes of good design, bowls of roses, Crown Derby tea service that you wash up yourself. That's what it's like in books. In real life, with a son starting on the bottom rung of office life, it means London. Frowsy landladies. Dirty children on the stairs. Haddocks for breakfasts that aren't quite, and so on. If only, began Mrs. St. Vincent, but really, I'm beginning to be afraid we can't even afford this room much longer. That means a bed sitting room. Horror for you and me, said Barbara, and a cupboard under the tiles for Rupert. And when Jim comes to call, I'll receive him in that dreadful room downstairs with tabbies all round the walls, knitting and staring at us and coughing that dreadful kind of gulping cough they have. There was a pause. Barbara, said Mrs. St. Vincent at last, would you... She stopped, flushing a little. You needn't be delicate, Mother, said Barbara. Nobody is nowadays. Marry Jim, I suppose you mean. I would like a shot if he asked me, but I'm so awfully afraid he won't. Oh, Barbara, dear. Well, it's one thing seeing me out there with Cousin Amy, moving, as they say in novelettes, in the best society. He did take a fancy to me. Now he'll come here and see me in this. And he's a funny creature, you know. Fastidious and old-fashioned. I rather like him for that. It reminds me of Anstey's and the village. Everything 100 years behind the times, but so, I don't know, so fragrant, like lavender,